Anyway, I enjoy working with Brother Todd, and I've been going up there probably the last 2 years now, usually on a weekly basis, except for in the wintertime, and I enjoy working with him. He has me do all the grunt work that he doesn't want to do. And anyway, I've enjoyed working with him, and he calls me his big brother, only because I'm bigger.
You treat me like a little brother.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. Todd is there at my beck and call to get me unstuck when I get stuck with the lawnmower. But anyway, I appreciate Brother Todd and his family and looking forward to preaching tonight. So, Brother Todd, you come and preach for us tonight. And whenever you're done, and we'll go home then.
Thank you, Pastor Mast. Well, I do appreciate your friendship, and thank you for allowing us to come. And thank you as a church for supporting our ministry of the camp and being a blessing and praying for us. I saw it in the bulletin or in the prayer, your prayer list tonight. And we are going to try to have camp as best to our ability. We are going to have camp this summer. So we can change that off the bottom of the line where it says camp is canceled. That was last year. We're moving forward and excited what God's going to do with the ministry there. And people are signing up, and we are excited about that. And we've been traveling a lot lately and presenting the camp in different churches. I packed the schedule a little tight this month. We were in 11 different meetings in just February. And so we're kind of coming down to the end of that. And so appreciate your prayers. We've crisscrossed the Midwest through storms and bad weather. And it's kind of embarrassing when you get to a new hotel and you can't remember what room you're in, and you insist you're on in this certain room, but that was the last hotel you're in. It's embarrassing when you're yanking on that door, you know. Oops, sorry about that. I'll be on my way. We appreciate your prayers and faithfulness here. And thank you, Pastor Mast, for allowing us to come. I enjoy spending time with your pastor when he comes and to camp. And he has been a great blessing. Your church has been a great blessing to us. And we look forward to seeing you at camp this summer through the different events we'll have. And hope to be a blessing and help to your church. This year starts the 16th year that I've worked in the camp ministry. And it's exciting to see what God does in the heart and life of a young person or adult for that purpose that comes to camp and gets their life changed to the preaching of God's word. And that's why we're here tonight. Amen. Amen. And excited to get a chance to preach to you. I'm not worthy to do that, but God's given me a burden and a heart for this message tonight. If you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 13. I got to be done by 6 a.m. because that's when the light comes out, and that's where I'm going fishing. Yeah. Somewhere around here. Where do I get a license this late at night? Somewhere around here. Anyone got a farm pond I can sneak onto tonight? I'll be there. I'm ready for it. I don't have any string on that reel yet, I don't think. I'll have to look for some of that. But that is a very nice gift, and I thank you for that. 1 Peter chapter 3 in your Bibles, if you found that. Let's start reading in verse number 13, and it says, And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Just think about that for a minute. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? And if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. You know, I think God's telling us here is don't let the climate of the day govern the spiritual temperature of our heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't let the climate outside govern our spiritual warmth inside our heart. Amen. And it says, but sanctify, that word sanctify, set apart, holy, consecrated, dedicated. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always. I want you to underline those three words. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, if I were to if I got in an emergency and I needed the fire department at my door, I want them to be ready always. If I need a paramedic, I want them to be ready always. I don't want to call 911 and get a busy signal. We're not here. Call back tomorrow morning. No, that's too late. If I need a police officer to protect me, I want them to be ready always. And in a spiritual emergency, you and I as Christians need to be ready always. Be ready for what, Brother Todd? To be ready to share the hope that is within you with meekness and fear.
Right.
I want to preach a message tonight entitled Passing Up Divine Appointments. Passing up divine appointments. Nothing can stir our hearts more as a Christian than taking the gospel track and taking our Bibles and telling someone about Jesus Christ. Amen? Nothing will stir your heart more than doing something like that. And I want to preach a message entitled, Passing Up Divine Appointments. Be ready always. Lord, I pray you bless in this message tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to preach it, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you stir our hearts tonight to be a witness for you. Thank you for that day as we go back in our minds right now and think about when you, when we received Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we were changed from death unto life, from a destination to hell to a destination of heaven, Lord. Thank you that heaven is our home, Lord. And I pray that we'd be ready to tell someone about Christ wherever, whenever we have an opportunity. In your name pray. Amen. The world today is in need of hope, in need of some kind of hope. They don't know what that hope is. They look for hope in maybe just a bigger paycheck, maybe a better salary, maybe from a bottle, maybe from just some entertainment that comes their way. But no doubt they're looking for hope somewhere. They just don't know necessarily where that hope can be found. They're looking though. Our country is in trouble. Amen. Our country has seen some dark days, and this is the answer to all their problems.
Amen.
They just don't know it, maybe. Maybe they just don't know where to turn for hope. And you and I as a Christian, as we go about our day, if someone asks us, ask us of the hope that is in us, we should be ready always to share the gospel with them. Amen. Just into the new year, my wife's grandmother passed away at 92 years old. About 2 weeks before she passed away, she was in the nursing home where she spent her final days, and there was a man that came in that to move into the nursing home, and 2 weeks before her death, this man was worried and nervous about being there, and my wife's grandmother at 92 years old got to give that man the gospel and got to lead him to the Lord. 92 years old. If a 92-year-old person can do it, you can do it. If a 92-year-old person could share the wonderful message of the gospel, then you and I can too. And it wasn't just shortly after that she went home to be with the Lord. And you know, I believe that God's got someone in each and every one of our lives that He has ready for us to tell them about the gospel. I couldn't have led that man to the Lord. I never came across his path. But God had him, a divine appointment set up for him to meet my wife's grandmother, and she got to lead him to the Lord. We've been traveling a lot, as I've told you recently, and we were traveling back a couple weeks ago from southern Indiana, and traveling up the state. We stopped in Bloomington. It was snowing sideways, and we had been traveling for several hours, and I said, Becca, we need to stop, and I need to get a cup of coffee. Amen. Amen. And so I said, can you find a spot where we can stop? And so she found this spot, and she said, okay, turn here, turn there. There's this place called the Spot, it was called. Okay, so we'll show up. We'll go there. I'd rather go to some local place if I'm on the road. And so we pull up. I'm dragging in. I'm tired. I've been traveling. And I walk in there, and I say to the guy, I want an Americana. And he goes, what's that? And I go, I'm thinking to myself, where am I? It's a bad day when you think you're walking into a coffee shop and you end up walking into a juice smoothie bar, healthy bar. I'm like, I was in the wrong place. I looked around, there wasn't a coffee maker in sight. I said, if you can juice anything, why not juice a coffee bean? Isn't that a fruit? But he couldn't do it. He didn't know what I was talking about. And I thought I was in the wrong place, but so I said, you know, okay, Becca, why don't you buy something so we don't look like we're just walking out on this guy? And so we decided to buy something, and while we're waiting, he goes, where are you guys going? And I told him we lived in Rochelle. And keep in mind, we're 2 hours from camp right now. I said, we're about an hour and a half, and I said, we're going to Rochelle. That's where we live. We run a summer camp for our church. And he said, well, I've got some friends in Rochelle. Bing. There's connection number one. I said, and he goes, well, what's your camp like? And I told him a little bit about it. I said, we're out of a church in Elgin, Illinois. Now keep in mind, we're about 2 hours from Elgin. He goes, my wife and I were just there for her grandmother's funeral. We went to a church in Elgin. Another connection. And as we're talking, he said, I was in the military. And he told me he was in the military, and they had him stationed in Poland. Now Poland is where my dad is from. Poland, my dad grew up in a military home. My grandfather was in the military. And I said, where were you stationed? And he said, just south of Krakow. And he told me this place. And as best as we can figure out, he was stationed where my dad grew up as a little kid. And God gave us these connections. What, was that a mistake? Absolutely not. And I got to give him a track, and he had customers coming in. I said, you need to read this. It's got the gospel on the back. Can show you how to be saved. And he graciously accepted that. Be ready always. God has someone for you this week. And as I preach through this message, I want the Holy Spirit of God to bring a person to mind. Bring a name to mind. That person that you work with every day. That person that you have passed going to the grocery store. That spot where you stop and get coffee in the morning, where you actually can get coffee. Where you have passed up an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus Christ. Be ready always. Do you know, I believe there's some reasons why we do pass up divine appointments. Why divine appointments are passed up. Why divine appointments are missed at times. Number one, I'll say that I believe divine appointments are passed up because sometimes we're just not prayed up. We're not prayed up. Every morning I get up, I pray and say, God, put me in the path of someone that's in need of you today. Show me that person that needs to be saved. Show me that person that I could witness to today. We are not prayed up. Do you know, I believe that God is more inclined to send a person my way than He is your way. If I've prayed and asked God to give me that opportunity, that's a request that I believe God wants to answer for any one of us. I don't believe He might say no if I ask Him for $1 million, but He's not going to say no if my heart is in tune to and wanting to give out the gospel to someone in need. He's going to give me someone. He's going to bring someone across my path. And if you're not praying for that, and I am, He's more inclined to lead that person towards me than He is toward you. Divine appointments are passed up because sometimes we're just not prayed up. We're not prayed up. Now it's getting kind of quiet in here, and I believe that's what God wants for us tonight, is this message on soul winning, because sometimes I'll be honest with you, in the dead of winter, it's not my favorite thing to go out door to door shaking and knocking on doors. People think you're crazy. We are supposed to be peculiar, but not crazy. But God has got people. I'll tell you, there's some churches I'm in, and soul winning is just a seasonal thing. Only when the weather is warm. People don't just die seasonally. They die every day, every minute of the year. Passing up divine appointments. I believe that divine appointments are passed up because we are not prayed up. Number two, I want to say divine appointments are passed up because we are not prepared. Now, you totally wrecked the next part of my message, because I wanted to make the application that I like to fish. And I was going to tell you that I drove across the Mississippi coming here tonight, and I like to fish wherever I go. But there's a slim chance that I was going to be able to catch a fish because I was not prepared. Did not bring a fishing pole with me. So you wrecked the next part of my message. But now I'm ready. I'm prepared. Now I can go out. But I was about to tell you that, there was a slim chance of me being able to catch a fish on this trip. Why? Because I wasn't prepared to do that. I wasn't planning to do that. I didn't have the tackle. I didn't have the gear for that to go fishing. And, you know, the same is true in our lives spiritually. We can pray and say, God, give me an opportunity to witness to someone. But if we don't prepare ourselves and deliberately in the morning put tracks in our pocket and be ready, then we're going to miss those opportunities. I'll tell you, that man I met at that fake coffee shop, I walked in there and I wasn't thinking about witnessing to the guy. I was thinking about getting a cup of coffee and getting back on the road. And I had to go back to the car and dig through and find a track and give it to the guy. I wasn't as ready as I should have been. And you know, life comes at us and we're busy and we're thinking, oh, I got to do this and I got to stay on track and I got to go get the kids from school and I got to make sure I get this appointment. And we race through life and pass up those divine appointments that God has for us each and every day. Divine appointments are passed up because we are not prepared. We plan to fail when we don't put tracks in our pocket on a daily basis. You plan to fail and when you see this opportunity as a duty instead of a privilege. Oh, here's another message on soul winning. I can't believe it. When will they ever get off this subject? Never! This is not just a duty, it's a privilege that God has given to us to be His mouthpiece, to be able to be granted and given such a wonderful, amazing gift as a home in heaven, not having to go to hell. And for God to say, you know, I want to choose you to be the person to tell the next person about that. That is a privilege. That is a privilege. That is not just a duty. It is a privilege. And we need to look at it like that. If you see this as just a duty, you need to warm your heart towards this thing and say, and get back to the idea that we are just a sinner saved by grace. I was talking to someone tonight and saying, they were saying how thankful they were. And I said, you know, you can't be thankful and complain at the same time. Those two things can't coexist. They both can't come out of your mouth at the same time. If you stop to be thankful for what God has given to you, you are not going to complain about anything. Realizing what we truly deserve. Divine appointments are passed up because we are not prepared. When I see at our camp, we have a large lake that sits right in the middle of the property. Most of our buildings are over on this side of the property, but the gate and the entrance is over here. And when I see a vehicle come into the camp that I don't recognize, in my pickup truck, in my work truck, in my camp truck that I drive around, there is, I've got a book with a stack of tracks in it. And I want to be ready when God brings someone by my path to be able to get a chance to witness to them. And when I see that a vehicle come onto the property that I don't recognize, I want to be ready to give that person a tract and tell them about the gospel. I want to be ready always for that. And divine appointments are passed up because we're not prayed up, we're not prepared. And I want to say number three, divine appointments are passed up because sometimes we don't know how to link up. Link up, Brother Todd? What do you mean by that? You need to learn how to link every conversation that you are in back to the gospel. Back to the gospel. Do you know we don't have a problem talking about something that we are passionate about, that we like, our hobbies, the sports teams that we follow, those things that we like to do. We don't have a problem in the world talking about that. You know our pastor, my pastor, Pastor Gomez, and he's preached here before. I've been here with him at times. If you are with Pastor, I'm going to put you on the spot, Pastor Mass, but if you're with him in a casual setting for any length of time, what are you going to end up talking about? Hunting! He got it. Hunting. Our pastor loves to hunt. And that's what he likes to do in his free time and in his downtime. And every time I'm with him, this subject somehow goes back to hunting. We might be talking about, a number of different things, but somehow we end up talking about hunting. And I stopped to think one day, I'm like, how do we end up talking about hunting every time we're together? Well, it's because it's what he likes. It's what he's passionate about. It's what he loves to do. So therefore, he starts talking about it. And I've got another friend of mine that all he talks about is politics. You're with him for 2 minutes, and the subject ends up, you end up talking about politics. I don't want to talk about politics. But somehow I find myself, I know it's going to happen. As soon as I get on the phone with him, as soon as I see him in person, it's going to happen. Why? Because that's what he is passionate about. And I thought about those two illustrations and I thought to myself, why can't we as Christians figure out a way to draw any conversation we're in back to what we truly are passionate about? The gospel. The gospel. We need to learn how to do that. To link every conversation we are in back to the gospel. When you meet someone for the first time, often the question is asked, what do you do? What do they mean by that? What do you do for a living? That's what they mean. What do you do for a living? But when they say, what do you do for a living? You know, why are you going to define yourself by what you do 40 hours in the week versus what you should be 24/7? A Christian, a member, and you could even just tell them, hey, I'm a volunteer at a church, and start there. That's not, and through that lead into the gospel. Why define yourself by what you do for 40 hours in the week or 50 hours in the week? We are called to be a full-time Christian, and that should be able to give us an opportunity to lead someone into the gospel, into the idea of telling them about the gospel. For me, I love when people come to the camp, like I told you about people, tradesmen, or people come into the camp that I don't know, and they'll ask me, they'll say this phrase, what is this place? That's how they say it, and I hear that time and time again. Well, I began telling people, I would just say, oh, it's a camp, and that's true. But it was like the Lord hit me one day and said, hey, why not use that as an opportunity to witness to the person? Well, yeah, I should have been doing that. And so now I'll tell them, you know, when someone says, what is this place? I'll say, hey, this is a camp where it's a faith-based camp where we tell people, how they can know for sure they're going to heaven, how they can have a relationship with God and how important that is. And let me ask you, if you died, would you know for sure you go to heaven? And look where I am in a matter of 20 seconds. I've gone from, what is this place? The physical contents of the place to what the meaning of the place is. And I've directed that conversation where I wanted it to go, to be able to witness to that person and tell them about Christ. Tell them about Christ. I love when people ask me that. It was the beginning of the year. We had just come back from Christmas out of town, and the camp was covered in ice. The trees were covered in ice. Every branch was covered. It looked pretty. It looked very nice. But if you know anything about ice on trees, they don't mix very well. And they begin to get heavy. And so I went around one morning looking, driving around the camp and looking at, make sure everything was okay and there wasn't any trees that were falling. And sure enough, there was a branch that fell across a power line and had cut off power to half the camp. Well, I called up ComEd, our power company, and they came and fixed it. That was on a Wednesday. The next morning, which was a Thursday morning, I got up and I drove around again to see, because we saw a lot of ice on trees, and in the same exact spot between the two power poles that stretched across that they fixed the day before, an entire oak tree fell in the exact same spot and took out those power lines right in that same spot. I told my mom that on the phone, and before I told her the rest of the story, and she said to me, someone probably needed the Lord that day. I said, why would you even say that? But here's what the rest of the story. A man came out by the name of Bob Purvis. Bob Purvis was one of the construction or guys working for ComEd, and we're running around checking all of the power at the different buildings, and we got to the girls' cabins, and there's no one staying in there this time of year, and we were in snow about 10 inches deep, and we're checking the power, and we began talking, and I pulled out a track, and I got to give him the gospel. Bob was a Catholic man. He grew up Catholic, but didn't know the Lord as a Savior, and got away from the Catholic Church and didn't know where to turn. He was looking for that hope. That hope we're reading about here. Be ready always to give an answer to every man, a reason of the hope that is in you. And he asked me about that, about the gospel, and I got to witness to Bob outside of the girls' cabin in the middle of the snow, and I got to lead him to the Lord. He prayed an amazing prayer, and when he got done, he said, "Todd, you really believe this? You're passionate about this." He goes, "This probably isn't the right term, but you freestyled that very well." I said, "Yes, Bob, I did. I've never heard that before." But what he was saying was, this is very different than the Catholic Church I'm used to growing up in. And everything's so starchy and so formal. And you really believe this. And I got to lead Bob to the Lord. The next week, I was at a tractor supply store in town. And they're closing down. Amen. Yeah. Sad to hear. I'm sorry to tell you that. But they're closing down in our town, and I was talking to a lot of the employees and several of the people working there. They're actually looking at giving us a lot of the contents of the store after they end up selling it out what they can and liquidating everything, so hopefully that'll work out. But as I'm walking around the store that day for about 45 minutes and talking to different people about the different aspects of the store and what they're selling, and this lady came up to me that worked at the store, named Kaylin, and Kaylin said to me, "Did you say you're from a Christian camp?" And I said, "Yeah, yes, I did." And she goes, "Hey, I've got four girls that are starting to grow up, and they're starting to ask me questions about God. And I don't have the answers. Do you have a good church that maybe I could bring them to?" Be ready always. I said, "Is it phoning time right? Sorry, nope, can't help you." No. I got to give her a track, and I got to witness to her, and Kaylin got saved standing in the store right there that day. The next week, I'm out at the camp, and there was some guy visiting, and all of a sudden a truck came in that I didn't recognize. Under the camp, underground at two different locations at the camp, we have gas lines that run through, large gas lines underneath the property, and the two companies that own them send out a man to check them every once in a while. Well, a guy named Brandon came out that day, and I had never met Brandon. Brandon lives in our town, but he had never been to the camp before. And Brandon got out, and I saw him coming. I got a track out, and I said, "I'm going to witness to this guy." Why do you think God brought me that person? Why do you think out of the hundreds of people that are part of that company, that one guy came by? Because I believe that God gives us divine appointments. Why not one of the 100 other men that work for that company? Because because I believe that God had that person ready for me to witness to that day. I got to witness to Brandon, and Brandon asked me my favorite question. "What is this place?" I love it. I said, as soon as those words came out of his mouth, I said, "This is the man that God has for me to witness to today." I knew it. And I got to give him the gospel, and Brandon bowed his head and trusted Christ as his Savior. Listen, those kind of examples, those people are everywhere. Everywhere. You're passing them up. I always got jealous of preachers that would preach this way and give example after example and say, "Boy, why don't I see people saved like that?" Well, you got tracks in your pocket right now? Are you ready to go fishing? Are you ready to go fishing for men? Well, are you looking for those lost people? Have you prayed and asked God to send them your way? Are you looking? Are you taking advantage of the opportunities, the place of people that God has put in your path? Don't let the devil give you this line that oh, they're not going to be interested. They look like they're tough. I don't think they have time. Don't let them lie to you like that. God has got someone in for you to witness to this week. I believe that. We were building a dining room building at our camp a year and a half ago now. And it was a big pole barn that we started with, and we had a construction company that came and built the pole barn, and then we finished the inside of the building ourselves. The company that came out, this was just a company that we had found, and these weren't part of our church. These men weren't part of our church. We had our chapel services each day, and up the side of our chapel was a speaker. And I never really put this together until later, but that speaker was broadcasting throughout the camp, as well as the speakers playing inside the chapel. So those guys working on the construction site could hear every message that was getting preached throughout the camp, throughout the summer that summer. Well, I was grading the road one day. I was on the tractor, and I was on the road, and one of these guys drove past me, and I waved to him and kept driving. I saw they stopped. So I looked, and I saw that they had stopped, and so I stopped as well. And this guy named Matt got out, and Matt worked for the construction company, but he was also a firefighter paramedic. He said, "Are you a preacher?" He said, "I need some help." He said, "I just watched a man die yesterday, and I've been faced with a lot of this trauma, and it's just getting to me, and I don't know where to turn, and there's all my life is falling apart, and I don't know what to do." And I got to give him the gospel, and Matt got saved a year and a half ago. Now, I'm driving to church a few weeks ago, and I'm on my way to church on a Wednesday night, and lo and behold, I get a text from Matt. I hadn't seen or talked to him in about a year. And Matt starts to tell me about some more trouble in his life. And I said, "Matt, I'm going to tell you the same thing I told you a year and a half ago. You need to get into church." Matt was in church that Sunday. He came to church just a couple weeks ago. And he loved it. He said, "I'm going to be back next week. And I promise I'll be back." Well, I was out preaching, and I called back to some people at the church. I said, "Did Matt come to church today?" They said, "No, he didn't." I thought, "Oh, man, I'm so disappointed to hear that." Well, I called Matt, and he goes, "I was there." I said, "What? What?" He said, "I was plowing snow the night before, and I was working for a tow truck company. We were pulling people out of the ditch, and I was up all night." He said, "I dragged myself into church. I got to church. I put the vehicle in park and fell asleep. And before I knew it..." Before I knew it, I woke up and church was over. I said, "Matt, you don't get credit for showing up in the parking lot. You got to get inside." New Christians, you got to take them where they are and disciple them. Disciple them. You can't just leave them out and say, "Well, glad you're saved. God bless you. See you in heaven one day." No, we got to do our part. If we're going to win them, we're going to have to do our part to disciple them. To disciple them. Don't stop until they're doing the same thing you're doing and giving someone else the gospel. All right? Your job's not done until they're faithful in church. And our job's not done. As I drove around, I might be wrong here, but I believe there's more people in your town than are in church tonight. That tells me that you still have work to do. That there are still people that need to be reached. That there is still a lost and dying world out there. And we have the answer. We have the light of the gospel, and it's our responsibility. Don't stop until they're in the pew doing what you're doing and witnessing. I was given a testimony. This is years ago. I was given a testimony in church about someone I led to the Lord. And there was this newer family that had just started coming recently. They were not even that faithful at the time. And they had this little boy. He was just big enough not to be in the nursery, but really wasn't old enough to pay attention very well in church. And boy, was he a distraction. It seemed like every 2 minutes he's sitting in front of us. Every 2 minutes he's popping up, turning around, writing, drawing, tugging on this mom, and just driving me nuts. Well, one day I give this testimony about soul winning, and that man, his name's Rick, turns around and says, "Hey, can I go out soul winning with you? I want to learn how to do this." And I said, "Sure." I said, "Show up on Saturday and I'll take you out." And I went into the bookstore. This was on a Wednesday night. I went into the bookstore afterwards, and I bought him a $6 New Testament. One of the best $6 I ever spent in my life. I put on there the gospel plan in the beginning, in the first page, and some other verses to help him. And Saturday, he showed up, and I was excited to see him. But I wasn't excited for long, because right next to him was his son that couldn't sit still in church. That, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be a disaster. You know, we have a nursery for him. No, I got to get my little son, Ricky. He's got to learn this too. I thought, oh, can't we wait a few more years? Can't we wait a few years? I thought, this is going to be the worst day of soul winning ever. So Rick and Ricky show up and I take him out soul winning. And just like I thought, Ricky was all over the place. Little Ricky, he didn't stay still very long. But I gave Rick that New Testament. And Rick started coming out soul winning. God began to burden his heart. God began to start a fire inside of him. He said, Todd, what are you doing on Thursday night? I said, nothing. He goes, why don't we go soul winning on Thursday night too? Okay, sure. I was supposed to be teaching him. Now he's trying to drag me out more. And he go and we started going out on Saturday and on Thursday. And that guy got on fire for God. He started driving a bus for the church. And he said, Todd, I'm burdened. I think God's calling me to preach. And he said, I think I need to go to Bible college. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm not saying this out loud, I'm thinking, Rick, you got a couple kids, you're married. This is not going to be easy for you. So I want to do it. And he started Bible college and he graduated from Bible college. And just last Monday, this had to be about 15 years ago, last Monday, I'm in a hotel, I'm about ready to leave a town I'm preaching in, and he sends me a text of that torn up Bible that I'd given him 15 years ago. And it was used, and you could tell he used it a lot. And he showed me a picture of the inside, that those verses I laid out for him. And he said, hey, Brother Todd, thank you for showing me how to go soul winning. I'm still doing it. And now he's a pastor in Florida. And I saw a picture the other day, and he had a bus full of his people from his church going out soul winning. I'm so glad I got to have a little part of his life in taking him out soul winning. There is a divine appointment that God has for you this week. Don't pass it up. Look at that verse once more. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15. But sanctify. You know, we're going to have to be set apart. We're going to have to be holy. We're going to have to be consecrated. We're going to have to be dedicated to this cause. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to any man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. This world we're living in right now is in fear. They are worried. They are confused. They are concerned. As I go to stores, people ask you, how are you doing today? You know what most people, you know what the last thing they expect you to say? I'm doing great. And put a smile on your face. Who says that these days? No one's doing great these days. But we are. Why are you gonna let a pandemic and a president and a politician affect your spiritual temperature in your life? Isn't greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? Why can't we live above the circumstances of the day? Why can't we show the world that we do have hope and that it is in Jesus Christ? Right. And be ready always to take out a gospel tract, to be able to give a witness to someone that you come across this week. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to think about that person God has put on your heart tonight. It might be a loved one. It might be someone that you work with. Might be someone in your neighbor next door. I don't know who it is. But I don't know. But the other part of that is I don't know that person either. You can't pawn off that responsibility on pastor. Oh, that's Pastor Mass's job. Oh, that's your job, Brother Todd. No, as a born-again Christian, that responsibility and that privilege falls on every one of us. How many of you would say tonight, Brother Todd, I know the Lord's my Savior. I know I'm a born-again Christian for a Bible reason, and I'm not ashamed of it. Would you put your hand up in the air all across the room? You know the Lord is your Savior. Thank you very much. As best as I could see, I believe that everyone in here of age, of accountability, is saved. Now, let me ask you, how have you been doing with, have you been cold towards telling other people about Jesus Christ? Have you lost the wonder of it all? Are you on fire as much today as you were at any other point in your life? If you're not, you're backslidden. Now, I want you to be honest. How many say, Brother Todd, I needed that message. I needed that reminder. I needed that encouragement to be ready always. Put your hand up in the air all across the auditorium. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, we're going to stand.